Welcome back, Monsignor.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's so good to be. This is my last day here at the rehab, and it's just been a marvelous week of rehabilitation and a kind of a whole attitudinal change from a very, almost like a depression that set in after my operation, and a sense that I'll never be able to accomplish these things. You know, and a very deep negativity and a darkness that had set in, and how God each day and through the therapists and through prayer has been able to lift me to a new level of just confidence that everything is going to be fine and that I'm going to walk again.
Well, we would never would have known, Monsignor, from the discussions that we had, that challenges facing you.
Yes, right. And, well, that's it's so, I'm really anxious myself to listen to what I said, because I think I, like a two-edged sword it is, that I would listen and hear what God was saying to me as well as what I was saying to others.
Well, today in our gospel reading, it was so beautiful because we got to hear our Blessed Mother offer that great Magnificat.
Yes, yes, Our Lady. I just celebrated Mass, and I told a couple of stories. But one of the stories that I really think is so important about Christmas is that all of us are very much involved at Christmas time in gift giving. Mm-hmm. And how important it is that we first receive from God in order that we might be able to give. Mm-hmm. God is the source of all gifts. Jesus said in Matthew 11, everything I have comes from the Father. That's Jesus. Everything I have comes from the Father. So Jesus really, of himself, the only begotten Son, received everything from the Father, so that he now becomes the source of all gifts. Everything that has come to be has come through him, because he received it first from the Father. And that we, who are united with him, also must first receive from the Father. And that was like the awakening that I had today as I am going to re-enter my life in some sense of going out again on mission, leaving this place of refuge where I had been rehabilitated and built up so that I could go again and give healing, blessing, food, shepherding to others. But God, as I woke up today, and I'm very anxious thinking about, oh, I'm going to leave the hospital, God. And I started into very, in some sense, in what I thought was a very spiritual mode, mm-hmm. telling God of what I was going to do. And God, even the prayers I was going to offer, the things I was, and God said, wait a minute, John, wait a minute. Let me look at you. Why don't you let me behold you? You just sit still. Be still. And let me love you. And for the most wonderful time as I woke up, maybe 20 minutes, I lay there, didn't move from my pillow, and I let God gaze at me. And I began to experience his loving eyes just looking at me. I was reminded of a story of Father Ashenbrenner's, of a little black girl, poor little child from Jamaica. And she only had one dress. And her mother had to go to work every day. And she didn't have anything to wear to school except this one dress. And every night, her mother would wash it. She'd get up in the morning and iron it. And then she'd put on this bright dress. And then just before she'd go to school, the mother would stand her there at the door before she'd run off, as children would want to, and the mother would say, "Just let me look at you. Let me look at you. You are so beautiful. Look how beautiful you are in your beautiful dress." And God was somewhat doing that with me today. "John, just let me look at you. Let me love you. Just let me behold you." And you, I'm sure that you who have had children, or anyone who's listening, who's had a child, don't you just, when you walk into your child's room and it's just sleeping, you just want to look and behold the beauty of your child. God loves us infinitely more than any father gazing at his child sleeping in the nursery. How much more did God love me and reflect that love to me this morning? There's a beautiful passage in Matthew's gospel, and Jesus has come down to be baptized by John in the Jordan, and he comes up from the water, this beautiful Jesus, and John just baptized him. The humility of Jesus to go to John to be baptized. John said, "You should be baptizing me." And yet Jesus, you know, humbly submits to baptism as if he's a sinner and sinless, innocent God, man, submits to being baptized. And as he comes up out of the water, he hears his father, "You are my beloved son, in whom I take delight." And I would like to ask you and anyone who's listening, have you ever stopped and asked God, "When were you most delighted in me? When in my life have I delighted you?" You know, we so often come to God and we tell him we're sorry for this, or I failed at that, or I need this. But when did God just gaze at you with that same love that he looked at Jesus and said, "You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son." And one day, in challenge and prayer, I said to God, "God, when were you most delighted in me?" And by this time, I think I must have been about ordained, maybe about 35 years. And I had done quite a few things. And even as I was thinking about God looking at me and saying, you know, what I had done here or done there, maybe a convert that I had made, maybe a sermon that I had preached, or maybe some even some person that I had prayed over and got well, whatever that might have been, "When were you most delighted in me?" I asked him that. And instantly, as soon as I asked it, I went back to a time when I was 8 years old. And I was growing up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And each Saturday, my dad used to give us 10 cents to go to the movies. And that was a huge amount of money. Now remember, when I was a little boy, there was no television. This was it. If you were going to go see the movies on Saturday, that was it. Now the movies, and there was the Family Theater. It was on South Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. And It used to cost 5 cents. Can you imagine that? Going to a movie for 5 cents.
Uh-uh.
And all the kids would get their nickels and down we'd go. Actually, we'd see a double feature. And we'd also have a cereal. And it would just be, and sometimes when I would rush there, I'd get so close, the horse had kicked me in the head on the way by, the first seat. I wanted to see that movie. It was the greatest thing in the world. And then, with the next 5 cents, I was going to get a triple-decker ice cream cone. Every Saturday, down to the movie, and every Saturday, a triple-decker ice cream cone from Russell's. They used to sell ice cream. Well, this was like a big deal. I'm walking down South Main Street this Saturday, and God reminded me of this. And as I was going down with my brother and my two cousins, Eddie and Billy, and the other kids, and we all had our dime, and this old lady, I don't know where she came from, walking down the street, she had a babushka, obviously very poor. And in Wilkes-Barre at that time, streetcars used to run off of the square in Wilkes-Barre, and they'd go out to the villages, to Sugar Knotch and Nanny Cook, and people could take the streetcar to their towns. Well, this lady said to me, "Little boy, would you give me 10 cents so that I could take that streetcar?" She was loaded down with packages, and she was poor. And I just remember looking at my dime and looking at her. The memory came right back to me. And I gave her my dime. And my brother went off, and my two cousins. And I saw them going to the movies. And I saw the lady obviously happy that she could get the streetcar home. And I walked up to what is still my favorite spot in Wilkes-Barre, the riverbank. And I laid on the riverbank and I watched the clouds. You know, the river snakes through Wilkes-Barre. It's a very beautiful scene there. It still is till today. And sometimes I go there and just love to be there. And even till today, it's a very favorite spot for me. But as I lay there that day, my heart was so filled with joy. I was so happy. And I came home around supper time. I must have been there a couple hours. And I came home, and my dad used to always ask us, "What did you do today? What did you do today?" And I still remember, all the people in our house, where they were all looking at you, "Hear what you did today." I didn't know how to tell them. I gave away my dime, and I had the happiest day of my life. You see, that really is, I believe, Christmas. When the Father looked at me and reminded me, "John, that's when I took delight in you." You see, who was I that day? I was the boy Jesus. That's who each of us are. When we are Jesus, when we do loving things, I gave away my dime, and it was just pure happiness. Some people have to be very late in life before they find out there's more joy in giving than receiving. At this Christmas, do you want to have a true sense of happiness? What is there that you can give to your mother? You might be 8 years old. What can you give your mother? You might be 15. You know, you really want to be happy. You know, meism doesn't make you happy. At the end of the day, you can get everything and get everything, but if you haven't given, you're not going to be happy. That's the truth. It's the very nature of love. When we give of ourselves something that's dear to us, we find happiness. That's the key to joy. That's the key to Christmas. God gave us Jesus. And when we want to enter into the spirit of Bethlehem, you want to sing your Christmas song on Christmas Day, we still have so much time. There's time yet to prepare for Christmas. And so I'm just so delighted that I can be able to share with you, Chris, these few thoughts as I leave rehab here. So many people are going to be so happy in this hospital. I have received so much from so many people. Father Ryapan has come each day, you know, at expense. He had to sacrifice something, and I'm sure he's going to be happy. He gave me when I wasn't able to, his time, taking care of me, being concerned about me. And so he's here now, and I'm just so grateful to the nurses who, during the night, that were here when I needed them, when I put on my buzzer and I needed to call them to take care of me. And so I was just like a little child needing to be cared for. And I'm sure that even as I leave today, I noticed there were people who are coming. And so Christmas Day is going to be a time maybe for some of them to still be on staff here. And maybe you're someone who's called to be on staff on Christmas Day. Maybe where you work and you pull the shift for Christmas. There's so many beautiful things that you could celebrate Christmas Day by being there. I hope each of you gets a chance, especially each day that I've been here, I've celebrated the Eucharist. And when I take the consecrated host, Jesus, as helpless as I have been, I've never been that helpless. The host, Jesus, has made himself so vulnerable. He can't walk. He can't move. He has become Jesus in the Eucharist. And when I eat him, now he becomes mobile. And he becomes me. I hope that when you, this Christmas, go to your Christmas Mass, and when you eat Jesus, and he comes into your heart, you can take him and let him be Jesus, our Savior, to your family and to everyone you meet. You are Jesus. The Eucharist establishes even more deeply in union with Jesus, and that this Christmas you may become more Jesus than ever. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. I'm sure the stars, the trees, and the whole world is rejoicing. Jesus is going to be born as our Savior.
Beautiful, Monsignor. Oh, we're all praying for you.
Thank you.
And, you know, for a speedy recovery, and that the challenges that you bear, that the angels just help to lift that weight along with our Lord from your shoulders, so that you can enjoy gazing upon his face.
And being gazed upon.
God. How about that?
How about that, Chris? Have a wonderful day.
You too, Monsignor. We love you.
Thank you so much, and I love you too, Chris. Thank you.